Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is All of It on WNYC. After the temps and humidity this weekend, we might be retreating back inside to Netflix and chill, literally. And to help us narrow down the overwhelming choices that streaming brings and separate the good from the meh, we turn to our go-to TV critic and friend of the show, New York Magazine's Catherine Von Arendonk. Hi, Catherine.
Hi.
So one of the things we've noticed, before we get into details, that some of these series that we love are splitting their seasons. Ozark is doing it. Slow Horses on Apple did it. Stranger Things is doing it. What is the strategy about dropping a handful of episodes and then taking a hiatus?
So I think it can be different depending on what the show is. In some cases, it's because the people who are making the show have a very good reason where they want to have, you know, a handful of episodes and then a break and a handful of episodes for storytelling reasons. I have to say, for the majority of these cases, what's actually happening is a combination of COVID logistics and contracts. So you were only able to get a certain number of episodes made within a specific time frame. Because of the huge strain on FX departments right now, you can't finish more than, say, six. But you also can't say that's just season one and it only has six episodes, because as soon as you greenlight it for a season two, you have to renegotiate contracts with all of the people who make this show. So instead, you say season one is going to be 10 episodes and we're going to give you five now and we're going to give you five more later when we can make it. So it's frustrating for audiences, but it reflects monetary and time realities often that are sort of things that we cannot see.
All right, let's dive into one of these shows doing this. Stranger Things, the Netflix, premieres May 27th. When was the last time we saw Stranger Things? It was pre-pandemic, right?
It was, yes. It's been quite a long time. And it is the kind of show that you can imagine Netflix has no need to push out sooner than they wanted to, because they know that they could wait and people would wait for it, right? Mm-hmm. This is not an audience that they felt like they were going to lose. And the episodes that drop on Friday, I mean, you can really feel the time and the energy and frankly the money that got put into them. They are long, they have impressive and expensive music and lots of FX. And it feels like the kind of like big celebratory, like we're doing a next season. It's finally here. It's been 3 years since you've seen this show. It's bulky and it takes a while. I find myself watching the first episode and thinking, I don't remember any of this. And these kids look very old now. But I will say, once you kind of get into once the season mechanics get going again, it does feel a little bit more like itself. And there's a monster and there's all kinds of, you know, exciting new developments. So it does pick up, but it takes a while.
Okay, well, let's listen to a snippet of a long, very 80s trailer featuring Journey. Okay, you hear Dr. Owen's voice, played by Paul Reiser, speaking to Eleven. This is a little bit of the Stranger Things trailer, so we can get the vibe.
I relocated you guys far from Hawkins because I thought you'd be safe. A war is coming. I'm afraid your friends at Hawkins are very much in the eye of the storm.
I don't have my powers.
How to say this other than just to say it. Without you, we can't win this war.
See you on the other side.
Oh, it was epic. Sound it. Okay, so that's on Netflix. I would like to break here for a news question. Obviously, people may know of Netflix's financial woes recently. Mm. We know CNN Plus was on the air, I believe, 1 month before it was paid to go away.
Not even quite. Yeah.
Have any of these streaming problems, we'll say nicely, affected any rollouts? Has it affected anything that you've seen in terms of the way series are being dropped or the way they are, the narrative around them?
Well, Netflix is just this huge behemoth in the streaming world. And so it also feels like the example that is easiest and most frustrating to point to. My experience as a critic has been for a while, a couple years now, that there are so many Netflix series that often they do not tell us about them until they are already out. It feels like sometimes their own publicists don't have a great sense of like what the upcoming releases are. It's hard for American audiences and American critics to understand what's happening on the international side. And all of that is to say that the problems that we are seeing in Netflix now externally, this like massive stock cratering, has felt like a bubble on the inside from us, from our perspective, because we can't get a handle on everything that's happening. I feel like sometimes Netflix can't get a handle on everything that they are creating. The best example of this for me was Squid Game, right? Critics had no idea Squid Game existed until suddenly it blew up out of nowhere. And I mean, imagine how huge and like just world dominating even more it would have been if there had been, you know, more of a release, more of a big push for like this show is coming. And instead it was sort of this groundswell. The downside, the alternative, the thing that I see happening constantly are great shows that do come out and then nobody knows about them, right? And so that to me feels like, it does feel like we are at this moment where suddenly, finally, it may be that peak TV has realized that the peak is too high and might need to be correcting. Yeah, we'll see. It's going to be a really interesting couple of years.
My guest is Catherine Von Arendonk from Vulture. She is helping us sort through some May streaming picks. Okay, this one stars two big names, Claire Danes and Tom Hiddleston. It's a new series that premiered last week involving possibly a mythical creature. It's called Essex Serpent on Apple TV Plus. What's the headline here?
So the Essex Serpent is an adaptation of a novel by Sarah Perry. And the general premise is that Claire Danes plays a recent widow who is in the late 19th century, who is very interested in biology. And in her grief and sort of not knowing what to do after her husband's death, she reads this news story about a mysterious serpent that's out on the moors. And she's like, we're going, I'm going to find this serpent. And it becomes this sort of tangled story about the grief, but also trauma that she was experiencing, her marriage. She meets a minister who is played by Hiddleston. It's a costume drama and it has a lot. It's just incredibly textural. I mean, not since Outlander has knitwear looked this good on television, but it is a much less sort of fun, frothy show than Outlander. It is much more rooted in like, thinking about belief and what stories people tell themselves. Just beautiful show to look at. And the plot moves at this kind of appropriately, I don't want to call it slow because it does have a momentum, but it is much more deliberate than sort of one of those big sort of poppy melodramatic genre shows.
You've got Kids in the Hall, Amazon Prime Video, currently streaming. Some people might not remember Kids in the Hall, the Canadian sketch comedy group. How does this work 30 years later? What does it work?
I was worried, right? Like when something comes back after a long time, you're thinking, I just don't know. And, you know, to that point, there is a recent Mike Myers series called The Pentaveret on Netflix. And like, yeah, maybe that one should have stayed in the, you know. Kids in the Hall is fantastic. I watched the first episode and I like almost fell over. I could not believe how well that they have brought that comic sensibility into the current time, how like self-reflective they are on where they were and who they are now, how much aging and death has always played into what their comedy is, and so like how well adapted they are to sort of return many, many years later. It's dark. It's so funny. Some of it is so stupid also. I could not stop giggling. There is a sketch about a DJ who is in an apocalyptic bunker and he only has one record left that works. And I have thought about that sketch every single day since I watched it. It just crushes me.
Let's talk about For All Mankind. Apple TV Plus premieres June 10th. Rolling Stone called it the best show of 2021. It's based on the race to land on the moon, but it has an alternate timeline and reality. This season is about a race to Mars, and there's an Elon Musk type character. Let's listen to a little bit of the trailer.
There's a primal urge in all of us to explore.
Some say private citizens have no business in space exploration. I emphatically disagree.
We have a historic opportunity. The first mission to Mars.
NASA's joining Helios and the Soviets.
A three-way race to Mars.
We're not going to come in second place again to anyone.
We're talking about discovering life on another planet. It'll change our concept of...
Catherine, what works about this show?
Everything works about this show. I'm upset. I think this show is quietly one of the best dramas that's been on TV in the last couple of years. As you know, Rolling Stone has proclaimed it. I fully agree. It feels more like a Mad Men era drama than most things that have come out since. It has that kind of slow build over the course of the season with multiple plot lines. And then in the final couple episodes, everything comes together. The end of season two was astoundingly great. I mean, I was just completely overcome. And I have seen some of season three. They just sent screeners over the weekend. I watched them all immediately. I was then incredibly depressed that I had already finished them. It is the show, one of the shows I am like most looking forward to seeing the rest of this year. I just think it's so well made. And I like an alternate history because you get to kind of play with hypotheticals, but creating your own sort of fictional world. And man, they've just figured out how to do drama pacing in a way that a lot of shows have forgotten.
Well, you still have time because season three doesn't premiere until June 10th. The rest of us mortals don't have our screeners. We can still watch seasons one and two and be ready to go on June 10th. My guest has been Catherine Von Ehrendonk from Vulture New York Magazine. You always give us the greatest picks. Thanks, Catherine.
My pleasure.
And that's all of it for today. I'm Allison Stewart. I appreciate you, and I appreciate your listening, and I will meet you back here next time.